listening to The People's Show.
You come at the King, you best not miss.
Left circle, Besser, one time slot shot, he scores. Brock Besser beats Jordan Binnington on the power play, and the Canucks are up 4-0.
With Seth, Dan, and Randeep.
The biggest thing to hit Canada because the Maple Leafs suck.
On the official home of the Canucks.
Goes all the way down the ice, here's Pettersson after it. He's got a chance at a breakaway. Pettersson in clean, is tripped by Murray, but he scores. Dinky Pete comes out of the box and puts the puck into the back of the net.
Sportsnet 650.
Welcome, citizens of the People's Show. We come to you live on Sportsnet 650 on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh First Nations. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda. You can interact with us on the Dunbar Lumber text line 650-650. It is expansion draft day here on the People's Show, and we will bring you every pick. Wait. You already know every pick of the expansion draft. This is going to be a problem.
Every single one, Dan. We held on till about almost just before 3 o'clock. There was one team that hadn't been leaked.
Yep.
And now the Detroit Red Wings have been leaked as well.
Steve Yzerman was trying to keep it under wraps, but he couldn't. Even Steve EY, the man nobody can figure out, couldn't keep it a secret.
I know people are just doing their jobs, and you know, Frank Saravalli, Elliot Friedman, Chris Johnson have all done great work today breaking all of the news, and others. Mark Spector was the last to break Dennis Cholowski. I'm kind of disappointed, you know, but...
Oh, Dan's feeling sorry for himself.
Dan, are you okay? I just wish it didn't all get broken. But now all we have to figure out is, what is the information we don't have?
That's a fair point.
What is the information we don't yet have? And that is, what side deals are to come tonight? There's been a lot of speculation that there will be quite a few. Vegas certainly had their fair share of side deals, and that's really what tonight is now about, is what else do the Seattle Kraken have cooking? And I would imagine that it's significant because they're like basically at the salary cap floor after they finish their unrestricted free agent signings of Adam Larsson, Jamie Oleksiak, and Chris Driedger. So Seattle's definitely got, like, Ron Francis has a couple more aces up his sleeve here, doesn't he?
I would imagine, but I don't want to be the party pooper here, guys, but what do I keep saying about NHL GMs and trades? They're a bunch of cowards, and I think the cowardice is being shown through the Seattle expansion draft process, right? And yes, there'll probably be a couple side deals. Maybe something happens, and you look at that forward group, it is still underwhelming, right? And yeah, there's more they can add to it, but I'm just not sure we're going to see all these fireworks tonight. Like, I don't think we're going to see like 5 or 6 trades be announced. Maybe one, maybe two, but what happened with Vegas? They made that Shea Theodore trade, that deal with the Ducks, I think the day before the draft. And all the other trades happen the day after the draft. So how much action do we see tonight? I'm hoping we see action. I understand why there's some hype leading into it, but I am skeptical we see a lot of moves.
So there were 10 moves immediately after that draft in Vegas, right? So I'm hoping there's more of that. But what do we know about Ron Francis? I think during our mock drafts, we were hoping he'd be a little adventurous. But Eddie Lack mentioned it last night on the show. It's a conservative GM. From what we saw, how he built the Carolina Hurricanes, and maybe at that point we were saying, okay, smaller market, he's forced to build it. No, Ron Francis is a conservative GM, but I hope there are more deals to be made out there. And based on the fact that if you look at that roster,
it's not very good.
Jordan Eberle at $5.5 million, making a good living. He's not complaining. But he, as of right now, is most likely to be that team's leading scorer, him or Jonas Donskoy. Like, we're not talking about a 50, 60-point player, potentially. Maybe if they open up and they'll play. They still need to get better. So I'm hoping that those side deals do happen because there are certain teams that need to still shed salary. Like, the Vancouver Canucks are still one of those teams. So, you know, are you still potentially looking at side deals from Vancouver's perspective? If you're another team like a Tampa Bay, are you considering them as well just to shake loose a little bit more money? Maybe the Islanders, if they have any assets left, which I don't think they do. So there are still players that are making money and teams don't want to keep them. But yeah, I think Ron Francis is going to have to upgrade his roster either in actual players or draft picks, guys, because that's where Vegas made, you know, they picked up decent players, but they also picked up a couple of first round picks last time this happened.
It is interesting on the Canucks front what is still to come over the next couple of days. Now, the reported selection is going to be Cole Lind going to the Seattle Kraken in tonight's expansion draft from the Vancouver Canucks. And there's a couple of other things that happened too. Obviously, Adam Larson, we talked about him yesterday quite a bit. Sat, you mentioned the Canucks may have interest if he would hit the market going back as far as last week. That's not happening because Seattle is going to select Adam Larson, and they are going to give him a 4x4 contract. At least that's what has been reported. And the Canucks did not make a deal with Seattle for Braden Holtby. There was some discussion. Canucks didn't want to part with an extra asset for Seattle to take him, or they did not want to retain any salary on Braden Holtby in order to make that happen as well. So, you know, there's a lot of things that happen out of this for the Vancouver Canucks. Let's start with Holtby, and I do wonder what this means for the future of Braden Holtby. I don't think it necessarily means, you know, it's Holtby and Demko starting next season for the Vancouver Canucks. I'm wondering if the Canucks feel they don't think they'll have to retain any of Holtby's salary to move him elsewhere.
Or at the very least, Dan, they feel that they have a better outcome elsewhere than what Seattle wanted, right? Because there is interest in Holtby, and I don't think the interest in Holtby is like 10, 11, 12 teams deep. I think there is a handful of teams, and we'll see if there's anything beyond that, but I think there are some teams that have interest. So if the Canucks didn't want to strike a deal for Seattle to take Holtby, that tells you, or at least you would assume, there's a better deal out there for them. And I think at this stage, Holtby himself probably, you know, wants a change of scenery too, especially with all the talks that have been going around, and he's been available to the expansion draft. I'm sure his agents talk to him a lot. He understands there are possibilities elsewhere. He knows it's going to be Thatcher Demko's goal. And I think the player at this point might also, you know, want that change. So I think something will happen here with Braden Holtby. But maybe the Canucks are able to make this deal with retaining a bit less salary than maybe we anticipated, or not adding a sweetener to it. Maybe it's 10% you retain, 15% maybe at most, or maybe the cost of trading him somewhere else is taking on a player you might find useful for yourself. So I think with Holtby, there are some possibilities here where the Canucks feel they can get a better outcome than what Seattle was offering.
So when you mentioned that, two teams come to mind immediately. One is Boston. We've heard that link before. They've got two young goalies that are 22 and 23 years old. Sure, they might be the goalies of the future, but when you have a Bergeron on your team, when you have a Marchand on your team, you're probably going to need a little bit more, especially from a veteran presence aspect. And, you know, you've got, that's one of the richer teams in the NHL as well. So if you're talking about stomaching a cost, Boston Bruins would be able to do that. The other team that came to mind are the Nashville Predators. UC Saros had a great second half to this of the season, but the beginning of the year, he wasn't very good. So, you know, Pekka Rene retires. What's going to go on there? You know, Nashville does have cap room to play with if they want to add a veteran just to have in a bit of a platoon with a UC Saros. So your point about interest, there's, you know, probably teams out there that are willing to look at Braden Holtby and see a need that they need to address. Absolutely. Those are the two teams that come to mind immediately.
This one, Minor Matt, Holtby to Boston in Abbotsford. Some other thoughts coming in, Chris, from Nanaimo. Could the Canucks have worked a deal that they would leave Lind unprotected if they take Holtby after Vitek Vanacek, more of a backup for Demko, Chris from Nanaimo. Look, there's a lot of options here. That's something I don't necessarily see. Once the Canucks acquired Jason Dickinson, Cole Lind was going to be left unprotected for the expansion draft.
Yeah, I mean, with all due respect to Braden Holtby, you're probably not getting Vanacek for Holtby and Cole Lind. I think Cole Lind, there isn't a lot of value here, right? Cole Lind also has to be exposed to waivers. And I think Cole Lind's name was out there in trade for the Canucks the last year or so as well. I think they were willing to move him depending on the deal. And I don't think it ever really got anywhere, which kind of tells you that the value for Cole Lind around the league you know, is far less than what he was drafted at as a second round pick. And that's why ultimately the team felt they needed to go and upgrade their list, because they didn't feel like it was good enough if you end up protecting Cole Lynn. All due respect to the kid, right? But that's just no value there for him. If you're trying to get Holtby off your books to Seattle, it's going to be more than Lynn. Like, Lynn does not move the meter for you. And we'll see if Lynn even makes the team in Seattle, right? I mean, there's a decent chance he doesn't. He ends up on waivers, and the Canucks have a decision to make. And I think that'll tell you if he's on waivers and if the Canucks put a claim in or not next year. I think that kind of tells you about how they view his value.
On the Holtby front as well, we got this text from Manny in Surrey saying, Holtby to the Sharks. Well, it's, you know, rumored that Martin Jones is going to be bought out. So there is going to be potential for maybe a veteran heading over there. If you're the Sharks, you're going to be taking an L on that Martin Jones contract, and you're going to have that against the cap. But you still want a veteran back there to be an option. And that's another option that I think, you know, if you're looking for a short-term deal to say, all right, we just need, you know, good goaltending. The team in front of them is going to be pretty lackluster. Who can you have from a veteran aspect in the crease? That's another, you know, team that's been linked to Braden Holtby in the past week or so, along with Boston. I would throw their name in the ring as well.
Well, I do, you know, okay, we don't have the full picture yet, but, you know, I do want to applaud the Canucks for holding firm on this and not just giving in to whatever Seattle's demands might have been. Okay, if you're moving on from Braden Holtby and you're at least exploring that option right now, the biggest reason you are doing that is to try and open up some cap space. And, you know, I know, okay, why did you sign Holtby to that contract in the first place last year? Like, you weren't going into last season with just Thatcher Demko and, you know, Michael DiPietro as your two goalies. You were going to sign a veteran. You wanted somebody that was cheaper, at least a little bit, than Markstrom, and didn't come with a ton of term. You worked it out with Holtby. And given, you know, the salary construction of it, maybe they thought this whole time that maybe this is a one-year thing and you move them on afterwards. So here we are at this point. You didn't give in to Seattle's demands. Your biggest priority here with Braden Holtby is trying to open up as much cap space as possible, knowing that you're probably still going to want to add another veteran goalie after you make that sort of a deal. So that's what the Canucks are focused on right now. They want to make some moves. They want to upgrade this roster. They want to potentially appease some of the players that are looking for a change of scenery. But in order to do that, they've got to open up cap space and be able to have some flexibility to make moves elsewhere. Or, you know, they're going to stand firm. At least that's the sense I get. And I don't think that's a bad strategy that Jim's got going right there in that mindset.
We also understand how much flexibility you have coming next season, right? I mean, you're not desperate. The thing, however, the Canucks kind of have to figure out here, guys, is you're coming off a really tough, disappointing season, right? Things didn't go really well. And we talk about, hey, long-term ambition. We talk about wanting to be good long-term. There's still a sense that you have to do a few things here to put this team in a position where they're going to be competitive again, or at least feel like you are being competitive. So you can't be reckless. You can't go out there and just spend your money without thinking about the consequences. You can't do things like that. But at the same time, I do believe there is urgency here to make the team better. And considering how many opportunities there are out there, there's going to be chances to do things. And I think the Canucks, to their favor this offseason, you know how we talk about you have to be flexible, you have to be creative, you have to have contingencies and different plans and lay the groundwork. By all accounts, they've really done those things this offseason. And me talking to people in the organization, yeah, they have, you know, favorite targets perhaps they want to go after, but they understand it may not happen. Like, all along, and I said this numerous times the last couple of days about Adam Larson, guys, I said, hey, the Canucks themselves, yeah, they would love to see him make it to free agency, but they're not sure it's going to happen. They're not optimistic he's going to make it to free agency for them to be able to make an offer for him. So they're not just sitting there thinking, oh, we don't know what to do next. Like, they have another step here that they want to take. And I would just say that this offseason is also one where they may just kind of wait. Like you alluded to here, Dan, some of these things may percolate as time goes on. So if you don't kind of, you know, blow your cash right away, your flexibility right away, something might turn up like the Nate Schmidt did last offseason. So I can see this team being a bit patient here and still finding a way to make some deals as the offseason rolls on.
Well, on that note, we've got a couple of texts rolling in on Braden Holtby trade offers here, Dan. So we got one coming in, and this is one that, you know, we've...
Silly season.
It is silly season. Holtby to Boston for Jake DeBrusk. Who says no? On
probably
paper...
I don't
paper,
think
it makes sense.
Says no. Yeah, I don't think Vancouver says no, if that's out there.
Well, that makes a lot of sense from Vancouver's perspective. It's just a better allocation of the salary cap dollars, right? And, you know, Holtby's 1 year, so I can't imagine it's going to be the hardest to move him, especially with some teams now looking for a backup. That is certainly one option. Holtby to Boston for DeBrusque. I don't think Vancouver says no on that front. Now, you know, we know that this team, one of their big priorities is getting a right shot D-man. Adam Larson was top of the wish list, or among the top of the wish list, as we talked about, Asat, you talked about. Where do you go from here? And, well, maybe, what does the Larson contract, 4x4, tell us about the market for, you know, David Savard, Brandon Montour, even Travis Hamonic, who's going to explore the waters of free agency after a year with the Canucks?
It tells you that that market is probably not going to be in that five times five range, right? And we said yesterday, what would be the absolute highest you can see a guy like Larson get? Maybe 5x5, and that is the absolute high point. But realistically, in a depressed market, it will likely be less. And it turns out it's 4x4. If he, who it might be, you know, after Dougie Hamilton, the premier right-handed defenseman on the market, and he goes for 4x4, then those other guys you mentioned, I just can't imagine that David Savard is going to get significantly less, right? Or significantly more. Maybe he gets 4.5 over 4 years because he won the Stanley Cup and there's more pedigree next to him, or some team gets desperate here because Larson's off the market. But I don't think it's going to cost you north of $5 million to get a defenseman. Even guys like Hamonic and Brandon Montour, they probably slot in that $3 million range, maybe even less than a guy like Hamonic on a two-year deal, maybe a three-year deal. So maybe what that tells us about the market is that these defensemen, if you have flexibility, are not going to cost you an arm and a leg in free agency.
Well, the tiers, we talk about Dougie Hamilton. He's in his own kind of stratosphere, right? But Larson and Savard are in that same range. So if we look at 4x4 for Adam Larson, I'm looking very much the same for David Savard, based on the fact that, yes, he's got the Stanley Cup bump. That definitely helps. He's a player that is, you know, played in the playoffs and was successful. So therefore, that adds a little bit more. But he's also older. He's a couple years older. And if you're a team, you're not going to be giving out 5 or 6 year deals to a player that is now 30 years of age. So if I'm looking at that range, guys, Adam Larson, maybe I go 4.5 times 4 for a David Savard, but I'm still looking at that as the ceiling. He essentially the Chris Tanev deal. You're looking at that sort of money for a David Savard just based on the fact that he's older. Can the Canucks afford that? Not so sure right now, especially if they don't move out money. And then you've got the third tier beyond that. Are there still moves to be made for, you know, other trade targets potentially with teams, or, you know, the Brandon Montours of the world? If we were originally thinking around maybe 3, 3.5 for a Montour, I think that number took a hit today with Adam Larson going for 4.
Yeah, and Larson was getting pretty much the same offer from the Edmonton Oilers. Decides Seattle is a better fit for him. And, you know, that's a big blow to the Oilers and their decor. Now it looks like they're going to pivot and maybe try to bring back Tyson Barry. Also looking at Zach Hyman. Maybe a sign-and-trade with Toronto, as Chris Johnston reported. A potential 8-year deal could be there for Zach Hyman, which seems a bit ludicrous to me, but so did 6 years for Barkley Goodrow. So what do I know on that front? And we've seen teams be willing to go a little bit longer on term in order to keep the AAV as low as possible. But, you know, the Canucks still going to be looking for right shot D-men now. And, you know, I think a lot of this, you know, the trade freeze holds up a lot because teams want to be making moves. You're only allowed to make moves with Seattle right now. Like, Canucks obviously talked to Seattle. It seems like a lot of teams have talked to Ron Francis and have not liked some of the prices he was asking for. We'll see how that plays out tonight. But guys like Nate Schmidt and Braden Holtby, you know, there may be deals elsewhere around the league. Maybe Seattle wants a Nate Schmidt afterwards once they get more of their roster settled. I don't know, but those two things, Holtby and Schmidt, seem like they are what could set up the rest of the Canucks offseason, depending what happens with those two players, Seth.
they're the ones that make the most sense as far as, you know, making a trade. There's interest in Holtby, and there is interest in Naismith as well. We heard Elliot mention yesterday the Canucks talked to Philly about Naismith in exchange for Nolan Patrick. So that kind of tells you what they're looking for. They are looking for that, you know, top nine, middle six type of guy. Maybe, you know, if they can find one guy, can get another cheap guy in free agency later to come and push a guy like Putkolzin, perhaps, or even Hoglander. I think ideally that's what they want to do here, to add a couple guys to the mix. So how else do you do that? Do you have any other deals in the making? Now, you buy out Jake, well, or it gets terminated, however that works out. That's only $2.5 million. That doesn't really change things. Every time we do cap projections, we're already assuming the $2.5 million, at least most of it, is off the books for Jake, right? That's the way we're always assuming how things move forward. You need to do a lot more than that. There has to be more money coming out. We know that Louis Erickson buyout doesn't do much for you. Neither does Beagle. Neither does Antoine Roussel. So really, all you have here is making a sort of a trade. Do you want to sweeten the pot to move Louis? Doesn't seem like that's something the Canucks are going to be looking to do, right? So what else can you do? Naismith, that's the one. I mean, Naismith and Brayden Holtby, those are your two obvious avenues to clear some cap space here. And if the Canucks want to be aggressive and keep adding to the team, that's what they're going to have to do. And honestly, I would expect the Canucks find a way to at least get something done with one, if not both of these guys over the next week.
It simply comes down to they're the most valued players that would be available from the Canucks, right? Naismith still has value in the market. Whether he's a fit in Vancouver or not is kind of beside the point. Does it diminish maybe what you can get back to a certain extent? For sure. But there's another team out there, maybe a couple, saying, wait a second, he doesn't fit in Vancouver, but that $5.9 million contract and some of the cap room that we now have could certainly fit. So over the next week or so, keep an eye out for that one. Brayden Holtby, I think it's an easier pill to swallow just based on the fact that it is a one-year deal. The real money is not great. The real money is something that you, if you're a team, you're saying, I don't want to pay that. But then again, if you are desperate, like some of the teams across the NHL are at the backup goaltender position where they have a lot of youth, but if you have a significant investment in your team, like a Boston does, you can't take that chance. You need to have somebody solid back there. So those are the two most valuable pieces. Everything else is essentially a diminishing return, right? Antoine Roussel, Jay Beagle, all those. You know, you're going to have to add a sweetener. But the question is, what is the return on a Naismith? What is that return? Is it a $3 to $4 million winger? Is it another potential right shot defenseman that's cheaper? You know, which direction do you go? And that's why the trade partner, the dance partner, is really intriguing, especially when we look at a Boston or if we look at a potential in Nashville. You know, what kind of deals could happen if we're talking about Brayden Holtby or Naismith? I guess we'll find out in the next week or so.
Coming up after the break, we are going to try and hypothesize where some of these side deals are going to come from. Again, the expansion draft starting at 5, and we will have and bring you anything that does break as it happens. Yes, we know all of the 30 selections that Seattle will make, at least what's been reported. Maybe they go full like WWE, Vince McMahon, and by God, they're taking Carey Price! And like, you know, like just something comes out of left field. I think it's highly unlikely, though. But it would be kind of fun. But there's going to be trades that happen that do shake things up a little bit and make for some interesting, at least setup to what the rest of the offseason may bring. So with that in mind, the Seattle expansion draft tonight will be blank. You can answer it at Sportsnet 650. There's a graphic there already. Also on the Dunbar Lumber text line, 650-650. All right. I'm going to start this one off.
Okay.
Since I already said, I'm kind of upset that everything's been broken, at least from the pick perspective.
You're distraught earlier this morning. You were.
The Seattle expansion draft tonight will be
boring.
Homer Simpson watching soccer.
You finally got to use that against something that's not soccer.
Yes, pretty much. This is my one goal in life, and I finally have been able to make it happen.
Okay, I'm with you. The picks, that drama has been taken out of it.
Yeah.
But this is Jerry Bruckheimer, right? There's got to be an entertainment element here. Yeah. We saw Kevin Weeks, you know, catching the fish or whatever, announcing from the fish. He didn't catch it, but there's got to be some sort of entertainment element here, guys. I'm still holding out hope.
Where's the twist? We need a twist. We'll see what it is.
I think we'll see a trade or two, but I don't know if it's going to be that. Like, I think it, I think the production in and of itself, and just like the execution of it, is going to be entertaining. And I think that's pretty much all you might get.
Can we just call him Cold Water Sat from now on? You know, because like everything he does is just pour cold water on anything fun.
We used to call you Danny Downer. I think Sat might be taking the crown pretty soon here.
Well, I'm realistic, right? Like, am I wrong? Like, have I been wrong every time I've downplayed like action in the league?
Hey, man, like Ryan Ellis trade last weekend. There was some intrigue.
Sure. We got a few trades, but it went, come on. Like, people were talking about we're going to see like all these trades, and it was we saw like, you know, a few trades, but it wasn't you know blockbuster city.
While we have that moment though, I want to give Bick props, because when you guys were away, the day before he said it's going to happen. Ryan Ellis is going to trade, and boom, 24 hours later it happened.
Bick Stradamus, I guess we can call him from now on.
All right, I got one more. Fill in the please. I got one here. The Seattle expansion draft tonight will still be better than the Game of Thrones finale.
Okay.
Like, we know the ending with the Seattle expansion draft, but it's still going to be better than Game of Thrones and the way it ended. Terrible.
And the Starbucks Cup.
You haven't watched it still, have you?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man.
You have no idea what we're talking about.
Why would I watch it? I know the ending sucks
but
now.
It literally took over the world, but Dan was just in his, like, hermit cave. Reading Clifford the Big Red Dog or something.
I just finally watched The Sopranos. So, you know, give me a few years, like 15, and then maybe I'll start watching the Game of Thrones. All right, it is the People Show. Get in on the Dunbar Lumber text line. The Seattle expansion draft tonight will be blank. Let us know. And coming up, we'll decide or try to think about what side deals may be happening, who they could be with, which teams, and why. Also, David Pignota will join us. It's the People Show, Sports at 650.
You're listening to The People Show with Sat, Dan, and Randeep on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
We are less than 90 minutes away from the expansion draft beginning. What is Ron Francis up to? He hasn't fleeced any other GM yet, really. At least not that we know of. Did we know that George McPhee like fleeced like 7 GMs by the time Vegas got to their expansion draft? We knew Florida. That one we knew.
Yes.
Yeah, that one. But outside of that,
the Shea Theodore trade was not looked well upon.
No, and William Karlsson happened after the fact. He turned into a 40-goal scorer. He wasn't that heading into Vegas, right? Like, a lot of these came later on.
Yeah.
I think we're in for some surprises.
I think we'll see some stuff in the next couple of days and stuff. I just don't think, like, tonight it's all of a sudden going to be, like, you know, 5 or 6, 7 trades all of a sudden get announced. I'm just skeptical about that happening.
I'll say this, though. Like, right now, and I know some people are out there projecting, like, oh, this is going to be a 100-point team with their the really deep analytics stuff. And, hey, like, I'm cool. I don't hate analytics, but I'm just saying, I don't see a 100-point team here, okay? I don't see how you're going to score goals, okay? Is Mason Appleton going to be a 35-goal scorer all of a sudden? Like, I like the player. I still don't see a 35-goal scorer there.
Dan, he was great.
How's this team scoring?
He was great value to get 12 goals for $900,000. Just imagine if he can get you 30 for $900,000. I don't think that's going to happen, though.
No, okay. What's the main thing we've learned here from Seattle? I think my biggest takeaway here, the most instructive thing I found, is how analytically inclined these selections have been, right? Like, they've essentially picked a lot of analytic darlings. You start looking at some of these prospects, people are like, who are these guys? Alex Truer, Carson Toronsky, and all these guys. But if you kind of dig through their profiles at the minors, they project to have some upside. They have strong analytics behind them, and we know how this front office has been built. So my first reaction to this roster is kind of like, it's a bit trashy, right? Like, the defense is solid, right? We'll see with the goaltending. I don't like the forward group all that much. I like the mix of the middle six, but I don't like the high-end talent here. But what if the bets they're making are correct? Like, what if guys like Mason Appleton becomes a 25-30 goal guy in a bigger role, the way William Karlsson did when he went to Vegas, right? Guys that get elevated, get a new opportunity, all of a sudden believe in themselves. Are they going to have guys like that emerge? If they do, well, they're ahead of the game, and they may revolutionize how we look at building a hockey team moving forward, or they've jumped a shark, right? So I think that, to me, is going to be the most interesting part of this roster selection by the Kraken. Are they ahead of the curve, or are they, you know, galaxy-braining their selections?
This team reminds me a lot of the Carolina Hurricanes team from 2014 and beyond, basically, till 2018, because what do we know about, you know, Ron Francis? He's kind of made those similar bets, right? Those same types of players. You're looking for value. As you mentioned, Sat, analytically driven. One stat about that team, though, while he was the GM of that team, they were 27th in scoring. Only ahead of Vancouver, who during that time was not good. New Jersey.
Those were the real dark days.
New Jersey, not good.
Jason Megna, top line right wing.
Yeah, Michael Chaput was getting chances. Arizona and Buffalo. So, yes, analytically driven for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But look at the history of the team that he built in Carolina. If he's following that same model, they had trouble scoring too. Like, drafted really well, built from the back end. But if you look at this roster, it kind of reminds me of that, where you're saying, where are you going to get the offense from?
Well, I mean, the current Carolina team has his fingerprints all over it too, right?
Sure. But it took time to build out. Yeah. So when we talk about being a contender right away or being competitive in a weak Pacific division, I don't see this roster doing that, unless in the next week it takes a pretty significant turn to being more aggressive.
Does look like a team that is building for, you know, to optimize in 3 years' time, more so than right away. We've got a ton of reaction on our fill in the blank, so I did want to get to a couple of those. The Seattle expansion draft will be blank. Ryan and Shemana says the Seattle expansion draft tonight will be very nice. I think that's how he wanted it to be said, like Borat style.
We could have gone to the clip, but
could we have?
Yeah, I think we could ask for it. Justin's very capable. You just wanted to do another accent. I'm on to you, Dan.
It says literally on the text, say with a Russian accent.
This guy will not leave a moment.
The people ask, and we give the people what they want. Am I wrong on that? Okay.
No. Unfortunately, sometimes we do it even though we shouldn't. I got another one here. We'll take some listeners' submissions as well. The Seattle expansion.
That was a listener submission.
Exactly.
Stop
I got
it.
One more. I'm going to add to it. Why are you so defensive about your accents, man? Relax. All right. The Seattle expansion draft will be more entertaining than a Whitecaps match. I think we can all agree on that.
Guys, I'm not going to lie. Like, I went from Game 6 of the NBA Finals to the Houston Dynamo and the Vancouver Whitecaps last night.
Why?
There was 10 minutes left. I was like, okay. I mean, I can watch the celebration, or I could see what the Whitecaps are up to.
Or you can go to Wizards and Wings.
Wizards and Wings. Bringing more excitement to BC Place than the Vancouver Whitecaps.
So you watched the final 10 minutes of that match?
Yeah.
And your takeaway? Were you entertained?
I fell asleep.
Exactly.
could be a call for that Homer clip again. But we'll move on.
Yeah. Perhaps we'll...
The Seattle expansion draft tonight will be, this one comes in from Neil the Boss. It will be Seinfeld the Pilot Part 2. So what's the show about? It's a show about nothing.
Yeah. Shelly Texan, expansion draft will be like The Decision. Not relevant. Big bucks, all whammies. Hopefully there's a spelling bee I can flip to.
At this point, yeah.
The Decision was, yeah, it was kind of like that. There was a lot of hype going into it, and then obviously everybody was mad about it, especially in Cleveland. But tonight, like, they have a large setup. You know, we know that they've filmed at least one video with Kevin Weeks and the whole, you know, Pike Place throwing of the fish and all of that. I can only imagine what else is there. It's like they've got all this glitz and glamour, but there's literally no suspense right now other than potential side deals, because we know everything that's going to happen. We know it all.
I will tune in for one reason, especially. I want to know what Sean Kemp looks like. We haven't seen this guy in 10, 15 years. Is the legend of Sean Kemp and what he has become in the parental world is huge. Like, we haven't seen this guy on camera in years. I want to see. I'm tuning in for Sean Kemp alone.
Will he dunk? Like, will he dunk a fish? That's what he should do. Dunk a fish.
Dunk a fish? PETA might have something to say about that. I don't know.
I mean, they're like tossing fish and being like, Jared McCann, Alex Kerfoot, what's wrong with dunking a fish? Like, you can chuck a fish across, you know, a fish market, but you can't dunk a fish into a bucket?
Just imagine if every single celebrity had to somehow incorporate fish into their... It's just like going to different parts of the city. Is that what you're suggesting, Seth? Everybody's going to incorporate a fish into the unveil?
I don't know, maybe. Or like, you know, at least have, you know, a squids or something. Or what are you doing here?
This is a great text from Pricer. The expansion draft tonight will be an Armageddon of bad boys becoming our new enemies of the state. Like, I can't believe you fit that many Bruckheimer puns into one text. That's impressive.
That was well done.
It's impressive. Well done. Nice job, Pricer.
Good job. Minor Matt, the Seattle expansion draft tonight will be a fish market flop.
Ooh, that's not good. Never good. Marcus and Gibson's, the Seattle expansion draft will have its surprise guest leaked before it even starts.
Well played.
Mutton says the expansion draft will be disappointing if Pearl Jam doesn't perform. Don't perform before the draft, and we'll watch it.
Okay, if we had to, you know, place a bet, who's more likely to show up, Pearl Jam or Sir Mix-a-Lot?
I would hope Pearl Jam.
That to each their own, Dan.
If I was in Seattle for the expansion draft, I would just be like that annoying guy that, like, at the bar when somebody's like live performing and doing like covers and stuff. I'd have a few too many, and then I'd just be the guy in the back.
So two.
Do Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam.
I've been to bars with you. You actually do that in Vancouver. Forget Seattle.
Yeah. He just yells at people doing karaoke. He's like, "That's great. Now do Pearl Jam."
Or the best Dan
Jeremy!
Retro.
Jeremy!
Yeah. The best one is when he basically ushers people off the stage because he can do Pearl Jam better.
It's true. I'm not even going to lie. It's actually true. So we're going to have David Pignota join us in a couple of moments here. But it is... Like, the suspense tonight does lie in the side deals. And, look, there's going to be at least a couple. And trying to think about where those deals may come from. Like, one team that I looked at and I was really surprised at the selection that came out of it was Pittsburgh. And Brandon Tanev. Now, look, Tanev's got 4 years left at $3.5 million per. He's a solid middle six, bottom six type forward. But I look at the other picks, and the only player that has as much term remaining on their deal as Brandon Tanev is Yanni Gourde. So I'm wondering if Pittsburgh and Seattle work something out so that they could lose some salary off their roster and be able to keep one of their cheaper bottom six forwards like a Zach Aston-Reese. Let's bring in our next guest. It is David Pignota, insider at The Fourth Period. You follow him on Twitter, at The Fourth Period. How's Seattle?
It's good. It's nice. The sun came out now. So it's I'm so glad I wore a suit out here for this thing. I need a wardrobe change already, guys. I've only been here an hour.
That's great. So what's going to happen tonight? Where's the suspense coming from? Where's the Jerry Bruckheimer twist coming from?
I'm not exactly sure on that front. I think, there are some side deals that were made with the Seattle Kraken. Now, whether they're huge blockbuster ones that are going to blow the roof off the place, I don't know. But there are a few deals, my understanding, that are going to come out. And I think that's part of the excitement, to see what type of trades were actually, you know, made and to facilitate certain selections and things like that. I mean, you know, Vegas had 10. I don't think we're going to get near that. But if we can hit half that mark, that would be pretty good. Add a little bit of excitement and suspense from that perspective. And then, of course, we've got, you know, from a local side of things, Marshawn Lynch and Sean Kemp and, you know, some of the Gary Payton's going to be here releasing some picks. And we've got, you know, some players as well that were selected that have made the trip in. I was talking to a couple of them this morning. So they're excited about it. Saw one of them already walking around the stage, taking some pictures. So I think, you know, you're going to add that. There's going to be some entertainment value to the overall broadcast and everything here. And I think it'll be a fun watch, but obviously from a selection perspective, well, yeah, we kind of know what's going on.
Well, that's the big thing. And as far as those trades go, you know, here in Vancouver, the Canucks got a deal done before the expansion, the trade freeze was put in place. And once the freeze lifts, they might be active with other teams. Do you anticipate they get anything done here with Seattle at all, in addition to just Cole Lynn going?
I'm not sure. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't sound like it. It sounds more so that Vancouver has been looking at other elements and other options. And obviously, Nate Schmidt's out there. Braden Holtby is another guy that they've had a number of discussions about. He has a little bit of say with a 14 no trade list, but there have been discussions on both those guys and a few other options. You know, this is a team that wants to bring in another left winger, another offensive piece that they can add and round up into their top six. And, you know, they want to bring in a defenseman as well as perhaps two of them, because if they're going to move Schmidt out, you know, we're not sure exactly what's going to happen with Hamonic and Edler. So, you know, they've got areas on that they want to address. I'm just not sure, and you know, can certainly be wrong, but I'm not sure that really we're going to see much here in terms of the Kraken with respect to the expansion draft. Maybe something were to happen a little bit later, but both Schmidt and Holtby are two guys that it sounds like, anyway, the writing is on the wall that at some point they would like to move both of them. Just a matter of finding the right deal.
Well, on that note, though, Dave, what do you think the interest for Braden Holtby is across the league? Is it pretty, you know, we've heard that there's a few teams that are interested potentially. From what you're hearing, how steady is that interest?
Well, there's a lot of teams doing their due diligence right now from a goaltending market perspective, because there are so many goalies available. There's you know, you've got some free agents, guys like Ullmark and Freddie Anderson, and then you've got trade pieces like Braden Holtby, like Darcy Kemper, Junas Korpisalo, and so on. So there are teams that are looking to bring in and solidify their goaltending position. Mike Smith is going to finalize officially once the freeze lifts. Could be a little bit after, but a two-year deal with the Edmonton Oilers. And then, you know, they're looking at still buying out Koskinen and bringing somebody else in goal. So they're a team that's looking. Toronto's looking for somebody on that back end as well, in goal, to replace Freddie Anderson. Arizona will, they bring in Aiden Hill. As I mentioned, trying to move Darcy Kemper. So there are a lot of pieces out there, and I think teams at this stage are reaching out to everybody to, A, find out what's the price, and B, would Vancouver be willing to retain any money on Braden Holtby's deal? There was some reports of discussion with Seattle on that front. Didn't seem like Vancouver was overly interested, but perhaps the parameters of a deal with a different team changed that mindset.
David Pignota of the Fourth Period joining us. He is in Seattle for the expansion draft, which will begin in just over an hour's time. Edmonton is super interesting. I don't think they expected to lose Adam Larson. Now it looks like it's going to happen, and he's going to sign with Seattle, as has been reported. Does this mean they bring back Tyson Barrie, and are they really going all in on Zach Hyman?
It certainly sounds like it. You know, they're having the face-to-face. They want to make sure everybody's comfortable. Look, he's a guy that I understand why the Edmonton Oilers are pushing for him, because he's a guy that came in with Toronto and built chemistry and grew chemistry with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner. This isn't just a guy that you're going to slot in and hope you can put a player of those caliber with this guy. He's proven that he can keep up with them and do the dirty work and create offense and finish when you're playing with those two guys. So to put him in, if the anticipation is he's going to be on the left side of a guy like Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl, well, he's got the experience of playing on a wing with those top echelon players in the National Hockey League. So I think, you know, from Edmonton's perspective, it makes sense. They definitely, the priority this offseason outside of D was making sure that they bring in some extra firepower up front to help spread the depth overall of the team's forward core. So I get that. It makes sense. Obviously, whether they can finish it, we'll see. I mean, there's talk he's looking for something close to $6 million. I mean, I don't know if the Edmonton Oilers are going to do that, but maybe they go on term and kind of go from there. From defense, yeah, Tyson Barrie's not Adam Larson. They're not the same kind of caliber player. They're not, so, you know, even if they want to bring in and want to bring back Tyson Barrie, you know, it wouldn't shock me if they kind of look at another element to really deepen their defensive core a little bit more. So, you know, yes, he's there, so there's familiarity there. Maybe you could put a little bit more money towards it, but really, I wouldn't be shocked if they look elsewhere. Maybe they go in with a respectable offer, but not over the top to try to keep Barry in Edmonton.
One of the biggest storylines this offseason, which has been overshadowed by the expansion draft, is the ongoing situation in Buffalo with Jack Eichel. Do you sense that any momentum's been picked up here in the quest to get Jack Eichel out of Buffalo?
Well, I think we're going to hear a little bit more with respect to not just Jack, but also Sam Reinhart in the next couple of days, because I think the draft is going to play a factor with both of those potential moves. You know, as I mentioned, the freeze lifts tomorrow, and then we've got the first round of the draft happening on Friday. If teams or the Buffalo Sabres are pretty adamant that they want a first-round pick included as an overall package, well, you're running out of time here to try to make something happen. If we don't see something happen by, you know, end of day Friday, then there's a possibility this gets prolonged a little bit. They haven't made a final decision yet on what his surgery is going to look like, what it's going to be. So perhaps, you know, some of that is, it plays a bit of a factor. Now, teams know what direction or what the options are from a surgery perspective. It's really going to come down to whether it's, they can work out a deal and then they go through that afterwards, or he goes through the surgery because they can't get a deal, and then they look later on in a month or so to try to finalize something. But what I was told was they'd like to come to some resolution in terms of the direction of his health by the end of this month, whether it's with the Buffalo Sabres or not. I suspect we'll get a pretty good indication in the next 36 to 48 hours.
Before we let you go here, Dave, we saw that, you know, Seattle picked Vince Dunn. They didn't opt for Vladimir Tarasenko. What's your read on that situation? Is this something that can get done sooner rather than later, or is this going to be waited out a bit?
It really comes down to how much money the St. Louis Blues are willing to retain on a deal. Now, they tried to hold back as much as they could to not do that, and then they figured, okay, well, if Seattle wants to take him, then we get rid of the full 7.5 hit, and they can figure out their own deal. Well, teams had interest, but the complication of that was, okay, well, you know, if you want us to retain, you got to incentivize us to do it. You've got to create a package that makes sense for the player himself and give us a reason to not take Vince Dunn. So basically a three-prong attack here from Seattle's perspective, and clearly it didn't work. So this goes back to the St. Louis Blues. The teams that had interest are still going to inquire. The Islanders, the Panthers, the Philadelphia Flyers, and so on are going to look and see, okay, didn't work. You didn't get plucked. Are you willing to retain a little bit of money on this deal? I don't suspect it's half. You're probably looking at this stage, $1.5 million. But are they prepared to do that? And then what else do they have to take back in return? These conversations will continue over these next few days.
Dave, appreciate your time here today. I know it's been busy down there. Enjoy the night. Enjoy Seattle.
Thank you very much. It should be entertaining.
There is David Pignota. The Jerry Bruckheimer twist. That's what we're all waiting for right now. What is it going to be?
Jack Eichel ends up with a Seattle Kraken.
Man, now you're speaking my language. This is hot water sat, not cold water sat. I
love it. I want to see it, but they don't have the assets. They don't have the assets to pull it off. Like honestly, right now you look at their second overall pick. Do the Seattle Kraken have enough to get Jack Eichel?
No.
Like what's the best offer they can make, right? What I mean, they just signed Larson. Okay, so you say you flip Larson. So let's say Larson, Yanni Gourde, the second overall pick.
Yeah.
And another first-round pick? Like, you don't even have the pieces to make the Jack Eichel trade.
They don't have any prospects, so that's...
yeah, I'm looking off the ice, boys. I think the Jerry Bruckheimer twist is going to come through Russell Wilson flying in on, like, on a helicopter. I don't think they can do it hockey-wise.
No. And free agent-wise, like, I do think one guy to keep an eye on here is Jaden Schwartz, right? They didn't take him in the expansion draft, but there's some talk they might sign him. He would give their top six a boost, right? So I think he's a guy that we might be able to pencil in. But by all accounts, they're not going to be landing Gabriel Landeskog. They're most likely not going to be landing Dougie Hamilton on the back end. Taylor Hall, by all accounts, is going to end up back in Boston. Ovechkin's going back to Washington. So once these guys are off the market, like, who are you chasing here? Hyman is going to Edmonton and signing a 15-year deal, I think, or something along those lines. And who else is out there? So how is Seattle going to really make that top six better? Because outside of Jaden Schwartz, there isn't an obvious answer for you in free agency. So do you have a bigger trade up your sleeve, perhaps?
Let's dive in on the Canucks. Coming up with Ian McIntyre, the triple threat. More as the expansion draft approaches and what may still be coming with the Seattle Kraken. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda. We are the People Show on Sportsnet 650.